Good morning. You've been the recipient of a random act of culture in Macy's department store by the Opera Company of Philadelphia. Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. I'm Penny Eiler, a member of the program committee. Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and an open-minded congregation. We welcome people of every ethnic, religious background, whatever your color, sexual orientation, or family structure. We welcome you no matter your age or your abilities or inabilities. On Sunday morning, we provide a wide variety of services. They are presented either by a Prairie member, a member of the wider community, or by our minister, Sandra Ingham. This morning, a celebration of Handel's Hallelujah Chorus. We have a few announcements to read before we start our service this morning. Lost or mislaid, piano glasses in a brown leather slipcase. If you find them, Mary Franz would appreciate. Okay. On April 26th, it's a workday reminder from 9 to 1. Please make it if you can, the Housing and Property Committee. The annual Prairie Family Retreat will be June 6th through 8th at Bethel Horizons in Dodgeville. Watch for registration forms and program information to appear in the next Prairie Fire. In the meantime, if you have any questions or want more information, please ask Kate Lou or Phyllis Long. Okay. There will be a short discussion on the proposed bylaw change to add the word, to change the word at large position, a youth or young adult up to age 35. The short discussion will be scheduled at 11:30 on April 27th and on May 3rd. In preparation for the parish meeting scheduled for May 18th. See Barb Clark if you have any questions about that. Okay, for other announcements, see your order of service or check the bulletin board in the back of the room. At this time, we'd like to welcome guests or visitors. If you're here for the first or second time or haven't attended for a while, we invite you to introduce yourself and say what brought you here today. If you're comfortable doing so. I do see some new faces. Are they shy? That's okay. We'll catch you after the service and introduce ourselves. Okay, for opening words. Handel's oratorios strive abundantly. For my part, they give me an idea of heaven, where everybody is to sing whether they have voices or not. That's from Horace Walpole in a letter in 1743. So, on this Easter morning, let's talk about when daffodils arrive in our first hymn, number 62.
When the daffodils arrive in
yeah, there are seats at the tables up here in the very front, if you're having trouble finding a chair. Okay. For our chalice lighting this morning. Hallelujah! We light our chalice this morning to honor the miracles of resurrection. From the Easter story to the tender young bud on the tree, that mere dot that contains the promise of a flower, a fruit, and its own death and resurrection. Hallelujah, it's spring! It is. Okay, at this time we have a special treat. Not a story, but an exercise. And we want to invite the children and those young at heart to join Aaron Bosch here at the front. And even if you don't come, I think Aaron wants everybody to participate.
So come forward. Is this on?
No. Oh, here. Is it turned on? Yeah, it is.
So all the kids can come forward. It's not going to be a story, but I need you up here. And I need you to line up and sit on the, that would be good. Or maybe even the next, if you can fit on the next one up.
Don't move the screen.
Okay, just line up. So today is Easter, and often on Easter, families gather, you know, extended family. So it's very appropriate that we are gathering with our prairie family. And the good thing about our prairie family is there's lots of people in it. Look, all these people in this room, right? So this is an exercise that we need lots of people for. You couldn't do it with just a couple of people. You have to have lots of people. So this is what's going to happen, and you're going to really help me. So you get to be the first one. So I'm going to walk around the room, and you are going to do what I am doing. And I'm going to start up here, and all you guys are going to start first, then go around. And if you're at these tables, you will do what I'm doing when I'm on that side of the room, and then I'll be coming around. And so you have to pay attention to what I'm doing, because it'll change. And then when we're all done, you just need to listen. And when we're all done, I'm just going to ask you guys to tell me what you think it was like, what you thought you heard, what it made you think of. Okay, so I can't do this and hold the mic at the same time.
So, first thing I'm going to do, and then when I'm stopping, I won't be able to stop too much time, but you'll get it. I'm making records, you'll get it. You're supposed to stop. Okay? So we have to be real quiet and just stand and start.
Thank you.
You did a great job. Thank you very much.
Will you join me in singing the children out? Farewell, good friends, farewell, good friends, farewell, farewell, till we meet again, till we meet again, farewell, farewell. Good hunting, kids. Okay. At this point in our service as a caring community, we take time to briefly share our special joys or concerns with our friends here at Prairie. And Dorothy has the mics and we'll come to you.
I think we had a record setter last week. Only three people had something to say. We're not going to beat that, are we?
Well, I thought I'd share with you why I'm wearing my little flower wreath here. When we were in Poland, it was in May, and the children were celebrating the month of Mary. And so there was a whole troop of little girls wearing these flowered wreaths on their heads with ribbons, and they had baskets of flowers, and they were strewing flowers before the priest and going all around the church. Mm. So it's my spring thing.
That's it? Oh, okay.
Today is my wife Margaret's birthday. And if you wish to know how old it is, you better ask her how old she is.
Oh, in that case, I'll light one final candle for those joys and concerns that are unspoken. At this time, we'll have a moment of silence. Today, we are reclaiming the Messiah's Hallelujah Chorus from Christmas to its origins as an Easter oratorio. It was first performed at the Music Hall in Dublin on April 13, 1742. The audience swelled to a record 700 as ladies heeded pleas by management to wear dresses without hoops in order to make more room for the company. Handel's superstar status was not the only draw. Many also came to glimpse the contralto then embroiled in a scandalous divorce. The debut in Dublin was comparable to a Broadway production with a tryout in New Haven before being staged in New York City. Messiah's success in Dublin was in fact quickly repeated in London. And today, there is probably no classical piece with more covers than the Hallelujah Chorus. Practically every major choral group has it in their repertoire, from the Mormon Tabernacle Choir to the Vienna Boys Choir. Or on YouTube, you can find recordings in all countries of the Christian world. There are arrangements in all sorts of genres, including country, jazz, gospel, new age, rock, and even a psychedelic rock dance mix, complete with twerking. There are arrangements for organs, pianos, brass and string quartets, wind ensembles, bells, banjos, harmonicas, guitars, kazoos, and drums. I was only disappointed, though, that I was unable to find one in Klingon. But good. To give you an idea of the variety, Maylene and I are going to do a little YouTube, dueling YouTube sampling for you. And I'll get the lights here. Yeah, we will. What happened? Did it get turned off or not?
Hallelujah. Dumbest thing we've ever done.
I know, I think perhaps you're forgetting Mr. Poodle Pants and the Mormon Tabernacle Penguins.
yeah, you're right. That was really bad.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Well, listen, you guys, put on something good, and I'm gonna go get Andy out of the belfry.
Right. Rizzo, go put something good on there.
You got it, Chief. Hey, Nigel, roll that tape of Mr. Poodle Pants and the Mormon Tabernacle Penguins.
Woo-hoo!
that with them, man. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
And that's just a sampling of the more out of the ordinary ones. One popular version that probably a lot of you have seen is The Silent Monks. And if you've never seen it, I encourage you to do a search on YouTube to look for it. But while The Silent Monks are entertaining, the kids from Glencoe took the concept even a step further. Are you ready?
Thank you.
I suspect they have a very inventive director of Christian education. That was, So, Handel amassed a fortune through his music and shrewd investments in London's burgeoning stock market. He donated generously to orphans, retired musicians, and the ill. He gave his portion of his Messiah debut proceeds to a debtor's prison and hospital in Dublin. A sense of humanity imbues his music as well, a point often made by conductors who compare Handel with Bach. But where Bach's oratorios exalted God, Handel was more concerned with the feelings of mortals. Conductors Harry Brickett says, "Even when the subject of his work is religious, Handel is writing about the human response to the divine." Nowhere is this more apparent than in the Messiah. Conductor Lawrence Cummings says, "The feelings of joy you get from the Hallelujah chorus are second to none. And how can anybody resist the Amen chorus at the end? It will always lift your spirits if you are feeling down." And now for the karaoke portion of our program. To set the mood, imagine you're in a cozy pub and you're feeling mellow after sharing a picture with your group of good friends. You're feeling your inner Pavarotti and Maria Callas. As a saying often erroneously attributed to Mark Twain says, "Dance like nobody's watching, love like you've never been hurt, sing like nobody's listening, live like it's heaven on earth." So with that, if May Lynn will do the, this thing is color-coded, as you can see on the bottom, your voice will be in the corresponding color, and it goes up and down the screen whether the music is going up and down. So, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. O Lord God, make the Thank you. Now that was a joyful noise to avoid. Okay. No matter if you're a humanist, an atheist, an agnostic, Muslim, Jew, or Christian, when you imagine God, you are likely to picture an old bearded man in the sky. Even though Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." So if we all, female included, were created in God's image, why all the references to Lord, Father, King, and male pronouns? If the language about God were more inclusive, maybe female priests would not be such a stretch for the male hierarchies of some churches. I would like to try and exercise an inclusive God language with the Hallelujah Chorus. This time, let's sing it through with Queen of Queens and Lady of Ladies and female pronouns. And we're not grading on performance. just intent. Yes.
Thank you.
And that was music to my ears. Did you find it jarring? If so, now you know how those of us who have championed inclusive God language for a long time feel when we always hear God referred to as He. And that went quicker than I anticipated. Bill scared me when he said it'd take half an hour to do all those. Okay, so we have time for discussion. Dorothy? Ah, there she is. Oh yeah, she's gonna grab the mic soon. Yeah.
Having just heard the marvelous Bach B minor mass day before yesterday, I take issue with the statement that Bach did not have a human touch.
Oh, that was the conductor saying it, not me. Yeah. Okay. Any other feelings on?
I'm thinking we should hear from the alto soprano in the back.
Hi, everyone. My name is Beth. I am Dorothy's daughter. I've been here a few times, and a couple days ago she said, hey, they're doing Alleluia Chorus. I know you know it. I know you've sang it a million times. Will you come in and sing it with us? And so I gladly came in, and I'm glad I entertained you. And I'm sorry that I'm not quite up to that soprano snuff on that top note, but I try.
I love it. On a lot of these, when you bring up the YouTube, it has a little ad that says, how to sing the high notes. Oh, yeah.
Good music is good music, but to me it's apparent that humans evolved and created God in their image.
It certainly strikes me how universal this particular theme seems to be. Mm-hmm. It's really nice to think about something wonderful going on forever and ever, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, it does make you feel good to just think for all time, just wonderful joy and, you know, fantastic heaven on earth. Sounds mm-hmm. really good.
Haven't gotten there yet.
I think we should all tell Paula that we missed her this morning.
Oh, she. Yeah. Barb and Matt.
Yeah. I'm going to take up roller skating again.
John DeMaine was sad when he came to Madison and discovered that there was no regular performance of the Alleluia Chorus. So the first year or two that he was here, we did it over at MATC, the Symphony Chorus did. And after that now, he promised his wife that as part of the Christmas program, there would always be the Alleluia Chorus. So we always end the first half of that symphony performance with the Alleluia Chorus. And one year, we never even rehearsed it until, I think, the dress rehearsal. Which there were a couple of people in the chorus who were new who had never sung it before, so that was kind of mean. But this year we actually did rehearse it a couple of times before the rehearsal with the orchestra, so that was better. But the assumption in choral groups is that obviously you have sung it somewhere before, which is most of the time true.
And that can start in high school. Did for many people, I'm sure. Started in high school.
You did this in high school? Oh, okay.
Many times after.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Maybe someone who's had more of a musical education than I am could answer this for me. When I seem to remember that there's a story about why people stand up for the Hallelujah Chorus, that something about how when it was first performed and there was a member of royalty in the audience and that this person assumed that this had to be the last song because it had already gone on for so many pieces. And so he stood up, and of course everybody in the audience, if the king stands up, you stand up too. But then there was more afterwards, and I'm wondering if anybody knows if that's actually true, or...
myth or the possible true. And they said that when he hit the Alleluia chorus in that performance, the king got so excited that on this, you know, uplifting music that he leaped to his feet, and then of course everybody else
had to follow.
Right. So now now it's tradition. And John Demain always tells the story and he said, you know, you don't have to stand. But generally speaking, most of the audience does, just for tradition.
Mm. I heard the king had gout.
I think the conductor was sufficiently discombobulated that he had him do the Hallelujah chorus again at the end of the performance, but maybe that's a legend.
Well, any comments on the dueling, the different genres? Did any of those strike anybody as?
Let's say they weren't English.
Okay.
I just want to make a comment on the gender pronoun switch.
Oh, sure.
One of the things that always frustrates me is that it doesn't matter how feminist or whatever I think I am, I can't seem to do that in my head very easily.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times I've talked to a patient of mine and said, so you have a rheumatologist, what is his name?
Uh-huh.
Her name is, yeah. And I just want to slap myself.
I know.
It's amazing how ingrained that stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't have second person pronouns.
Right, we need a neutral pronoun, yeah.
We're working on that.
Aaron and Bob.
This hat comes from Harbury in Warwickshire in England.
Hmm.
A wonderful little village. And people think that the name came from the fact that Harbury was founded by a woman, Har meaning her, and I don't remember the other. And I joined a male dancing group.
Oh, Morris Dancers?
And we all wore hats like this.
Mm-hmm.
So all female.
I'd like to add a little something to that. When we left England and we were packing, of course, this hat couldn't fit in the suitcase, right? So he wore it. And of course, the Britishers, as we were leaving England, they smiled and they knew what that was all about. But then when we got home, I wore the hat.
And for the real ambitious among us, it's been a few years since I've gone to Picnic Point May Day morning dance the sun up with the Morris Dancers. But they do that every year, and I checked recently, and they did it last year. I'm assuming they'll do it this year.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be at the end of Picnic Point before
sunrise.
Sunrise.
Yeah.
So it's a dark walk, bring a flashlight. But it's it's a great time.
Yeah.
I think my favorite was the all the kids. And the neatest thing about that was that they were preschool, elementary, high school, all the different sizes of kids. That was just a monumental task. I'm assuming that they did it separately edited together, et cetera. But even so, it was just cool to see all those different ages doing the same activity.
Mm-hmm. It was cool. Yeah, that must have been a huge Sunday school.
I want to sing that gospel version. That was fabulous. I want the symphony chorus to do that with the gospel group that sings with us at, at Christmas.
Where do you see the offertory one? Yeah, okay. Well, speaking of offertory, prayer runs on love and the time and talent of our members, but we also need your financial support. While the ushers pass the baskets, delight in one of my favorite YouTube Hallelujah chorus searches. Drums. Who would have believed it? Okay, well, let's keep up this joyful mood, and this time we'll do Bach and Beethoven, excuse me. Okay, but Like I said, joyful mood, we're going to do Ode to Joy, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, number 29.
Such a joyful noise.
We can work with it. Joy. Closing words are from Handel himself on composing the Messiah. I did think I did see all heaven before me and the great God himself. Thank you for coming. Extend the hand of friendship to those around you and join us for coffee and conversation.